Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Almost every day, Evelyn watches the same video of her daughter looking into the camera and babbling.
That was one of my favorite videos because she's using her voice.
Last fall, my colleague Amber Ferguson met up with Evelyn while she packed for a trip. By the way, we're only using Evelyn's first name to protect her privacy. Evelyn was finally going to see her baby in person for the first time in almost a year.
And I'm really excited. I don't know if I'm nervous, but excited definitely. And I know I'm going to cry because it's been so long. And I just hope that she embraces me. And she's a baby, so I feel like babies sometimes remember things, but sometimes they don't. So we will see how that goes. I'm excited.
You see, Evelyn placed her baby for adoption. And now she was on her way to see the adoptive mother and her family, and most importantly, her daughter, Olivia.
Time has gone by so fast, so seeing the pictures and videos of her growing up over the months, it's exciting to look at, but now I get to see her in person and hold her and touch her and hug her, so that really means a lot to me.
Despite all the joy and excitement, this moment almost didn't happen. This adoption almost didn't happen. Baby Olivia almost didn't happen because Evelyn tried desperately to get an abortion. From the newsroom of The Washington Post, this is Post Reports. I'm Martine Powers. It's Thursday, April 25th. In the nearly 2 years since Roe v. Wade was overturned, abortion access has become a patchwork in the United States. Depending on where you live, the procedure might be restricted or banned completely. If you're pregnant and don't want to parent, anti-abortion advocates often suggest adoption as a solution. But carrying a pregnancy and giving birth and placing that baby for adoption can be painful, and it can be complicated. Today, we have a story that I was drawn to because it's just so nuanced. It is about abortion restrictions. It's also about disparities in the world of fertility and about the state of adoption in America today. And to the two women at the center of it, it's not a political story. It's a story that is deeply personal. As I said, this story was reported by my colleague Amber Ferguson. You'll hear her voice first.
Evelyn was a college student in her early 20s when she unexpectedly got pregnant in 2022. When I first connected with Evelyn, the first thing she told me was I wasn't doing much with my life. She was on academic dismissal for the third time. She was in community college in San Antonio. And so because she was on academic dismissal, she had to sit out an entire year of school. And she met a guy on social media. They dated for a few weeks and she got pregnant. She told me the air out of her body left her when she saw the pregnancy test on her bathroom counter. And she immediately knew she wanted to get an abortion.
So at the time that Evelyn was trying to figure out what to do, she's in Texas. There was a ban on abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy. So what happened? What happened when she went to a clinic to try to get an abortion?
So after she received the positive pregnancy test, she immediately made an appointment. She went into the clinic 3 days later after the positive test, and she was hoping she wasn't too far along. She said that the waiting room was packed. She found out she was 6 weeks and 4 days pregnant. And They said that they couldn't help her, but they could refer her to a clinic in Oklahoma.
So she went to Oklahoma next?
Yes. So Evelyn is adopted herself. And she was terrified to tell her adoptive parents who she lived with. So she called her birth mom, Tamala, who lived close to the Oklahoma border. She told her adoptive parents she was going to visit Tamala, but Tamala helped get her across state lines to Oklahoma to do a medical abortion.
And so how did that go for her?
So Evelyn was prescribed medication to start an abortion, and she took it. She bled, she cramped, she had blood clots, and she thought it was successful. The clinic advised her to do a follow-up, but she thought that it worked. So 2 or 3 months passed, and she still hadn't gotten her menstrual cycle, and she took another pregnancy test, and to her surprise, it was positive. And she went to the clinic to confirm it, and they said the fetus was still growing.
Oh my gosh. How often does that happen, that people get medical abortions that don't actually work?
3% of medical abortions fail when gestation reaches 70 days or 10 weeks.
Hmm. So after 2 attempts to get an abortion, she was still pregnant. What did she do then?
So Evelyn was desperate. She found a website online that ships abortion pills across the states, and she bought pills that were coming from India, and about a week later, she took the pills. She experienced cramping, but there was no bleeding. She emailed the company, and they said for her to take more pills, but she refused. She didn't want to keep doing more harm.
Wow. So what was she thinking in that moment? She really seemed committed to having an abortion, not carrying this pregnancy to term, and to be met with these failed attempts. What was that like for her?
She was petrified. One of the main reasons why she wanted to have an abortion was because she felt like she couldn't care for this child. Her parents adopted her when they were older, so they're in their 70s now. And she says, you know, I wasn't working. I wanted to finish school. I didn't have anything on my own, and I didn't want to put this on my parents to raise this baby. And after her third attempt didn't work, she spent a couple months just researching every day how to have a late second trimester abortion. This whole time, her parents didn't know she was pregnant. The people closest to her, her friends, didn't know she was pregnant. And she found a clinic in Albuquerque, New Mexico, that does allow late second trimester abortions. And they told her it was going to be $12,000. And she said, I don't have that money. And mm-hmm. So they connected her to 2 organizations that gave her grants to pay for her flight, her food, her hotel for her to go. And she told her parents that she was going across town to San Antonio to visit a friend, but she boarded a flight to New Mexico to try to have an abortion again.
Wow. And that didn't work either.
No. So when she got there, she was praying. This is her third, fourth time now, praying that she can have this abortion done. And at this point, you know, she's feeling the baby. And they say no.
After they did the ultrasound, I remember seeing the look on the doctor's face, and he was like, I'm sorry, we can't go through with abortion. You're too far along for us to do it. And I was crying. I was scared. And that's when it hit me right away that I was going to have, you know, my baby and stuff.
You know, the fact that you said she was adopted herself, why wasn't that something that she considered more seriously up to that point?
It's something I asked her a lot about, and she said, I just did not want to give birth. I did not want my parents to know I was pregnant. I did not want to give birth. And it wasn't until she was faced with the reality that she had to give birth that she made the decision to choose adoption. And she chose the same adoption agency that her parents used. I asked her several times, like, did you ever think about parenting? And she said, no. She said, I knew where I am in my life, I did not have the capacity to care for this child. That never wavered.
It just makes me sad because it was like, it was a hard time. It was very stressful. And I didn't know what to do. And it kind of seemed like it was like, I didn't know how it was going to turn out. In the moment, I felt a lot of stress and everything kind of just felt like negative, especially since I was having a baby by a person that I didn't really know in that way, and someone that had been disrespectful towards me, and I felt like I was trapped. Like, but one thing I never did was blame my baby for it. Because it was never, of course, it was never her fault.
And then when it hit her that she was going to have this baby, she said, you know, I never want to resent this baby. I never wanted this baby to think it was their fault. And she's like, I want to give this baby the best life possible. And the best life possible is not with me.
It sounds like Evelyn was really resistant to talking to her parents about this. But at some point, it's kind of impossible to hide. What was it like for her finally having to have that conversation with her parents?
Evelyn was terrified. Evelyn was terrified to have this conversation, but she could not keep hiding it. And she sat her mom down, and she was still too terrified to tell her dad. So her mom is the one who told her dad. Her dad was shocked. He couldn't believe it. He said, why didn't you come to us sooner for help? At this point, she had already contacted the caseworker to start the adoption. And she's like, I was just trying to do everything on my own. And they said, we'll support you in whatever decision you decide to make.
So I want to stop the story here and switch points of view. Because while all of this is happening, there was another woman 2 hours away in Houston who was ready to start a family. Tell me about Carolyn Whiteman.
Carolyn Whiteman is a 44-year-old woman in Houston, Texas, who always wanted to be a mom. In 2020, her dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and she got tested for the BRCA2 gene, and she tested positive, which puts her at an increased risk for breast and ovarian cancer. And her doctor strongly advised her to have her ovaries and uterus removed by her mid-40s. And Carolyn is single. She always just expected to find someone and have a baby, and her timeline was moved up. In 2021, she froze her eggs twice, and she was looking for a black sperm donor. And she found out that there's hardly any. Less than 3% of sperm donors are black. She didn't want to choose a donor of a different race. And so she basically gave that up.
Yeah, freezing my eggs and then making the decision to become a single mother by choice was already a jump. And once I got there, it was like, okay, what's the next step? Okay, sperm donor. And then when I realized there was a lack of black sperm donors, the disappointment was heavy, because I thought, oh no, here's another barrier I'm going to have to work through. And I just decided not to work through it. I probably could have maybe looked harder. I probably could have decided to continue looking, because there were other women that were able to find donors. But I just got exhausted. I was tired, and I said, you know what, let me stop and pivot, and the answer will come to me. And I paused.
In 2022, after I published a story about the shortage of black sperm donors, I received an email from Carolyn. She thanked me for my story and said that she tried to find a black sperm donor and couldn't, and that's what led her down to the adoption path. When she emailed me in October 2022, she said that adoption was a struggle and that she was going through the process and that there were barriers.
I'm called to adoption agencies here in Houston, and it was a phone conversation. And I just called to say, you know, hello, my name is Carolyn. I'm interested in learning more about adoption. And they asked me, you know, are you married? And I thought that was an interesting question, amongst other questions. But it was, you know, are you married? And I said, no. And they're like, sorry, we don't take anyone but married couples. And then there was another agency that mentioned I would have to be married, and I'd have to sign a pledge to raise the child in a Christian home, which I had no problem doing, but it was just interesting that it was tied to being married. So I knew those agencies weren't for me, and I'll admit I was surprised, because I never heard of that being a requirement, that marriage was a requirement to adopt.
At this point, having reached out to all of these adoption agencies and hearing, look, you're not who we're looking for, what was her reaction then? What was she feeling?
She felt rejected. She already thought it was such a struggle to find someone romantically. It was already a struggle to find a Black sperm donor. And now she's here, and there's another obstacle where they're not even accepting her to be an adoptive mother. And Carolyn just, she was baffled and she was upset. She's like, I did everything right. I went to college. I'm a homeowner. I have such a supportive group of family and friends, and I'm healthy, and I have the money to do this that I saved up. And it's like, no one wants me.
So then what happened? What changed?
So then she contacts Gladney Adoption Agency, and it's a months-long process, home studies, interviews, background checks, and it costs $50,000.
We're going to take a pause there, but after the break, we'll hear how Carolyn's story intersects with Evelyn's. We'll be right back.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
So tell me about the experience that Evelyn had giving birth to her baby daughter.
So Evelyn starts having contractions at 36 weeks, and she initially thought it was gallbladder pain. I guess she had gallbladder issues in the past. And her mom is a nurse and said, no, honey, you're having contractions. And so they drove to hospital, and 6 hours later, Olivia was born. Shortly after she gives birth, the Gladney caseworker comes and tells her how the adoption would work and tells her she can take as much time as she wants. And Evelyn chooses five profiles of families, and she was just so drawn to Carolyn's. She said, there was just a warmth about her. I loved all the pictures she had of her family and her friends and how she spoils her goddaughters. She later told me, you know, I really wanted a Black woman to raise this child. So later, there was a Zoom that was set up. They met over Zoom, and they just talked. They talked about family time and spirituality. And Carolyn, she was on the board of Girls Inc., which is like a nonprofit to teach girls leadership. And Evelyn was part of Girls Inc. when she was younger. And so they connected on that. Later that day, there was a second Zoom, and her parents met Carolyn, and then literally 8 hours later, Carolyn gets a phone call that Evelyn chooses her, and she's about to become a mom.
Oh my gosh, what was Carolyn's reaction in that moment?
She was just so happy. She was just like, finally. So she has to get a stroller. She has to make a registry. She got a nanny. She just like has to buy all of these things that most adoptive parents would have a few months to gather. She does not have that time. The baby's already born. And then you have Evelyn, who she never took Olivia home after she gave birth. She thought it would be too difficult.
So she just stayed at the hospital the whole time?
Evelyn went back to San Antonio. She went home, and the baby stayed in a placement home.
Okay.
And so she is shopping with her mom, and they get Olivia this light pink dress for adoption day. And they go to the fabric store, and she knits the baby a blanket. And then the day before the adoption, Evelyn and Carolyn finally meet in person. And at that point, Evelyn had already signed the relinquishment rights.
Did Evelyn ever have a moment of doubt about her decision after Olivia was born?
No. After she gave birth, she was silent. And she just looked down. She just automatically loved Olivia. And she told me, I know I really tried everything not to have her, but I do love her. And so her feelings immediately changed after she gave birth. And she loved this baby. And it was incredibly difficult for her to choose adoption. But she said, I know this was what was best for me and what is best for her. And she said, I know Carolyn could give her everything. I know I couldn't.
What was adoption day like?
So on the day of placement, which is adoption day, they handed the baby to her. And she just sat with her and rocked her, and she was just crying. And she says, I love you. I love you. I love you. You're going to have such a great life with Carolyn. She kissed her on the forehead, and she told them, I'm ready. And she hands Olivia over to Carolyn, and they hug. Some gifts are exchanged, and they're kind of just getting to know each other, and they sat and they held hands for 2 hours. And eventually, the room clears, and it's just Evelyn, Carolyn, and Olivia. And Evelyn turns to her and just kind of shares a little bit about her story and opens up, and she talks about how she got pregnant and what her plans are and what she wants to do. And she said, I try to have an abortion a couple times, and I really hope you won't judge me. And Carolyn says, I would never judge you for that. A lot of decisions led us here, and I am so grateful.
Wow. How are they doing now?
After the birth of Olivia and after adoption day, it was very difficult for her. She told me she cried every day. She slept with Olivia's baby clothes from the hospital just to smell her. And she just kept telling her mom and her parents, like, I really want this to motivate me. I don't want this to take me further off track. And so she wrote a letter to the dean of the community college to ask to come back. And she finished the spring semester with straight A's. And she's like, I surprised myself so much. And by that point, she had enough credits and she was able to apply to transfer to a 4-year historically Black college outside of Houston. And she was accepted and she's studying criminal justice. She moved down her own for the first time and she has a roommate. And she's like, every time I would like call her, she's like, Amber, I'm going to Bible study, or Amber, I'm going to the gym. And she's just like thriving and she's making friends and she is happy.
I want to be someone that Olivia looks up to and for her to know that, you know, I've continued going to school, not only for me, but for her as well. So I can be someone that she can be inspired by and look up to, and for her to hopefully want to pursue her education so that she could go far as well and do something that she loves to do.
And Carolyn is finally a mom, and she loves motherhood. I mean, her life revolves around Olivia. And they did an open adoption. There's a range of things what that can mean. But for them, it means that there's just really regular communication. So Carolyn and Evelyn and Anika, who is Carolyn's sister, are in a group chat, and they're always sending pictures and videos back and forth. And so in their contract, their adoption contract, they said that they would meet once a year. And so the first time that they met was in October.
Study features.
That's what she is. She's very observant.
I love that.
We call it the judging.
Me too.
And I got to witness for the first time Evelyn seeing Olivia in almost a year. And it was extremely emotional. And what was really beautiful about it was that Evelyn's parents were there. And they're just so proud of her. I was talking to her dad a lot. And he just said, you know, I never thought I'd become a grandpa like this. But he said, I'm so proud of Evelyn. And she could not have made a better decision. I wondered a lot why Evelyn shared her story with me. Evelyn never had to tell anyone that she tried to get an abortion. And I asked her, like, why do you want your story out there? And she said, I don't want any other young woman to be placed in the position I was in. And she said, this was my path, and I'm so glad Olivia exists. I'm so glad I was able to have her and give birth. But what I did was dangerous. And she doesn't want other women to go through what she went through.
Interesting. Because, and I know this story isn't about politics, right? These are just the experiences of two women and them coming together in this really remarkable way. But I can't help but hear it and say, like, This is the argument that is given by anti-abortion advocates of what the possibilities are beyond abortion, that there are so many people looking for children, that the adoption process can bring so much happiness to people, and that that could be an answer.
So I spoke to 10 adoption agencies in states where adoption is banned or restricted, and 8 of them said, we asked the birth moms, you know, about how they got pregnant. And the majority of them say, I either tried to get an abortion or I wanted an abortion and I couldn't. I mean, what happens when a woman can neither get an abortion because of state laws and they can't parent? What happens? You know, either they parent and they really struggle, or they choose adoption and to basically be forced to give birth and then place that baby up for adoption is extremely, extremely difficult. Evelyn never thought she would give birth and place a baby up for adoption, but yet this is the situation she found herself in because she lived in Texas.
So what you're saying is that even though Evelyn has come out of this experience with so much gratitude for the baby that she gave birth to and being able to place that baby in the arms of a loving woman, Carolyn, that even with all of that, that she still thinks that her story is not like the dream story that anti-abortion activists are talking about.
Not at all. When we were fact-checking this story, the clinic she went to in San Antonio has since closed. I needed to get the name, and she was Googling it, and she's like, oh my God, it's closed. I can't believe this. They help so many women. And then the clinic she went to for Oklahoma to get the medical abortion, it relocated to Chicago. Her stance on the fact that women should have the right to abortion is even stronger than it was before. She knows that it puts women in such a difficult position.
I'm curious where Carolyn stands on all of this. Did you talk to her about how she feels about abortion access and whether this changed her opinion?
Carolyn says abortion is healthcare. She never judged Evelyn. She doesn't judge her. She says, I'm so sorry you went through this. You put yourself in a very dangerous position. And she's very upset by that. She said, you know, she is so grateful for Olivia that Olivia is healthy and that the abortion medications didn't do anything to affect her health. But she is very sad for Evelyn that she had to go through that.
So to you, what is the story about? Is this a story about abortion laws and about women's health care? Is it a story about, like, how these narratives can be politicized in the fight over abortion rights? Or is it about adoption and how we define family?
This is a complicated story. Yes, it's about adoption. This is the struggles that Black women face to become mothers. I mean, if Carolyn had access to a Black donor, she wouldn't have chosen adoption. But when it comes to the abortion question, it's just really about the lengths that some women will go to obtain an abortion and how it still might not work. And I mean, many things happened for Evelyn's abortion not to be successful. She was 6 weeks and 4 days and not under 6 weeks. She got medication that was ineffective twice, and she was also too far along to obtain one safely. It just shows that even though a woman can try so hard to make a choice for her body, there are things, systems, laws, people in place to prevent that. And so they have to take alternative measures.
Amber, thank you so much for sharing this story.
Thank you.
Amber Ferguson is a senior video editor for The Post. If you want to learn more about Evelyn and Carolyn and Olivia and see photos and videos of them and their reunion, we will include links to Amber's story in our show notes. Before we go, here are a few other stories I'm following today. The Supreme Court heard oral argument this morning on an unprecedented question of presidential immunity. The justices are weighing whether former President Donald Trump can be prosecuted for actions he took while he was in office to stay in power after losing the 2020 election. And in court, the justices appeared poised to reject this claim of presidential immunity. Conservative justices worried that a ruling could hamper the power of future presidents or subject them to the whims of a politically motivated prosecutor. The liberal justices emphasized that the president is not above the law. Whatever the court decides will determine whether and how quickly Trump would face trial on charges of election interference. The justices' decision will likely shape power and accountability for future presidents. And major news in New York, the rape conviction for Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein was overturned today. To be clear, Weinstein is not being released from prison. His 2022 rape conviction in California still stands. But the New York Court of Appeals ruled that the judge in Weinstein's original trial in 2020 improperly allowed testimony about allegations that were not part of the case. The court has ordered a retrial. And that's it for Post Reports. Thanks for listening. Today's episode was produced by Sharla Freeland. It was mixed by Sean Carter and edited by Maggie Penman. I'm Martine Powers. We'll be back tomorrow with more stories from The Washington Post.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.